Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog Other Shit Monday Side Pig podcast. A show that happens not just once, but twice a week, where two to three, sometimes four, sometimes a lady, it changes, but two to three old guys talk about old games. And Dave, I know I'm springing this on you during recording.
Oh, you know how I love surprises.
I know you do. Something, whenever I was listening to Fist Puncher, because we got a little treat in that apparently the developers might have listened to it. So then me start thinking, as soon as they hit play, they immediately just hear these two guys.
Yeah.
Particularly me saying weird shit about what I've done.
Uh-huh.
You don't even think it's a video game podcast, really. So like, maybe we could mix it up and say what we do, and then tell the really awkward personal stories that make our listeners feel weird.
All right, cool. It's a new year. Let's do it.
Okay.
We need to remodel.
So, Tadpog, Other Shit Monday. What we do here, because traditionally, classic Tadpog, Wednesday is top 100 IGN Super Nintendo.
IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo.
Yeah, there you go. I had all the words, I just didn't put them in the right order.
That's right. It's like you're a magician in Harry Potter land.
And England. Well, on Other Shit Monday, we do anything else that we want to talk about that is not on IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo list.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
Is something that's not on that list. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And last week, I didn't tell a story because my wife wanted me to talk about her breasts. And that's just the worst way I can possibly put that out there. So instead, I told that story. So now I'm going to talk about what I wanted to tell in the first place.
I thought the whole point, though, of you telling that story was so that you wouldn't tell this other story.
Oh no, I still plan on telling it. She just got me to wait a week.
Are you sure? Are you sure Meg understood that?
Yeah, that's her fault.
I'm not sure that she did, because when we got done recording, she said to you, "You pretty much told the damn story anyway." She didn't say damn. She didn't say. I don't have to edit that out.
She's a lady.
I don't have to edit that out.
You told the story, fucker, were her exact words. Yeah.
I don't think that, I don't really think that she wants you to tell the story.
So it's just not as bad as she thinks it is.
All right. But I know what it involves, and I think it could be as bad as she thinks it is.
So Palace Chat was like a, where you have like an avatar and everybody chats to each other and you get little speech bubbles and stuff like that.
Yeah, on a background.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're in a diorama.
The background that I was on was South Park. South Park Palace Chat. So it was just various still scenes from South Park. And it was early South Park, so kind of bad South Park. Like, you either had to go on like Big Gal's boat ride and then like Kyle's house, Stan's house, the classroom. And it was all done like, looked like it was the cardboard cutouts like it did back in the day. And then there were secret rooms you could go in. And then if you get into a secret room, that's how you could private chat with somebody. But, and then the avatars were, it was always weird. Like, I don't know how new elements got introduced to it, but you had like the blank avatar for male or female. And then the more you chatted, you could get more customization, more clothes, things like that. And then more accessories. So you could wear like, a big thing was like Tommy Hilfiger shirt that you could get in various colors and JNCO jeans that your avatar could wear.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want your avatar to look good to the other avatars. You want to have a sexy avatar with all the most stylish clothes. I mean,
exactly.
This does sound like the shittiest MMO I've ever heard of.
Bullshit thrift shop shopping in Palace. I just, no.
So I think I was in middle school. This was on like when I had Prodigy Internet on my compact Presario. Like, I didn't know, when I freaked out the internet, I didn't know what to do. Like, the only thing I didn't know how to do a search engine, I didn't know how to use the internet, so I only went to the two websites I saw on TV, being DietCoke.com and Friends.com, and somehow I found out about Palace Chat, and that's all I did, just getting on Palace Chat. But apparently it was the big thing was just get these various costumes, get sexy costumes, go to the secret rooms, and have cyber sex.
What? Can you tell me what a sexy costume constitutes?
Bikinis.
Uh-huh.
There is the occasional nudity, the occasional like dildo accessory for your hand or something like that.
Dildo accessory
for your hand. You have an empty hand? Have a dildo accessory.
How does that...
new from Mattel. Whore Barbie with her dildo hand accessory.
How does that make your hand feel good? It's a dildo for a hand? I don't get it.
He's holding the
dildo. Oh, okay.
He's holding the dildo.
Right. He's holding the dildo. He's holding the
dildo. We're about to learn a lot about Tyler in this story.
No. Damn it. But so that was... Like, I thought sex was going to be easy because of all it took in Palace Chat was go up to a girl avatar and you want a cyber. Sure. And then you would both go to a private room. If anybody else went in that private room, they would just see you had like a gray outline and they couldn't see the text you were skinned. They would just see clothes change.
It's very noir. And,
yeah. It was very deep, this Palace Chat.
Eyes wide shut.
So I'm sure the number of females on Palace Chat was extraordinarily low.
Why? You saw female avatars, right?
No one goes to the internet and tells lies. No.
I mean, you saw plenty of
females.
If
you're a boy, you only get a boy avatar.
Right.
But that's all. Most of my middle school experience was cyber sex in South Park rooms and Palace Chat.
Well, how did it go?
I never got turned down.
How do you really judge that? How did it go? Well, I didn't get any online, STDs.
I had plenty of cool accessories.
Yeah.
My Tommy Hilfiger shirt.
Hand dildos everywhere.
No, I mean, like, did any of those relationships blossom into anything meaningful?
No names were exchanged. No names were. Except for Sexy Stacy.
This is like
a glory hole. She was one of my members, but Sexy Stacy. That was her name. Clearly, she was there for the purpose in South Park Palace Chat.
Yeah. All right. I think before I introduce myself, I think we should give Miller a proper introduction.
Yes.
It's okay.
What Ashley Shake never got.
Right.
He couldn't stop talking long enough. Are you going to introduce me? Or like, am I supposed to wait before I talk? Or do I just talk now? I mean, I'm already talking. Well, now it's ruined. You didn't introduce me enough.
Well, guest starring today, we have Pilot Wings, The Walking Dead.
Populous. NHL 94.
Mm-hmm.
One more. It's your podcast. How the fuck do you not remember one more?
Hey, I've gotten a lot.
We've done like 67 episodes of this show.
Yeah, but they're special when I'm here.
That's true.
They are. Joe and Mac 2.
Thank you.
Nice.
All right.
I've forgotten about that one completely.
Yep. Joe and Mac 2.
I had, for some reason, I just thought of Caveman Ninja when I looked at you. And your eyes, they just communicated Caveman Ninja to me.
I've got fire and nunchucks in my soul. Yeah, glad to be here. So what horribly embarrassing story are you going to tell about yourself, Dave?
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, just to make it formal. And
you were Sexy Stacy.
I was Sexy Stacy. That was good. Man, boy, do I wish, because I could never get past 5 dildo hand accessories.
I mean, once you get past 3, it's just flash.
You need the whole rainbow.
I mean, what are you going to do with that? You've only got so many places to put them.
I used Avatar Chat, too. But it was Star Wars Avatar Chat. I don't think
you were the cool kids.
No, I don't think there was a whole lot of cyber sex going on in the Star Wars Palace Chat. I think there was a lot of people having private conversations discussing whether or not the movies would have happened at all if Lucas hadn't seen the hidden palace. So
I even know what that is.
Not cyber sex. Really,
it's pretty close.
Really fucking nerdy conversation. There wasn't a lot of ASL going on in Palace Chat.
Yeah, but to be fair, I bet there are still people on that chat room jerking off.
If I wasn't doing it, man, I don't know, because I jerked off a lot.
Basically, the only time you weren't jerking off was talking about that
specifically. That was sacred. Palace Chat was sacred to me. But I did pick up a lot of I think the proper terminology is fly internet honeys off of IRC chat.
Yeah,
nice.
Because Paducah had a channel that a friend of mine started, and man, There were definitely some girls on there, Tyler. You were missing out. That I think that's where you should have
there
been.
There were definitely guys who said they were girls they were, on there. They were,
yeah. Like, if that's the case, I've often wondered, like, maybe they were, because we would meet up pretty consistently. Mm. And I think maybe a few of these were actually guys who just convinced their sisters to go. Like, look, I told everyone I'm a girl. Don't ask. But I need a big favor from you.
I actually remember, do you remember a comic chat?
No, I don't remember comic
chat.
It
was sort of similar to what Tyler was describing. And what'd you call it?
Palace.
Sort of similar. And for some reason, I want to say it was Jacob York that told me about comic chat. But it was essentially you were on a comic slide and you would speak.
Like in dialogue balloons?
Yeah,
and
in
shit?
Dialogue balloons. Yeah. And I remember that. I don't remember doing a lot of trolling for whores on comic chat.
Not much cybering?
No, I don't really remember doing that. I was far too reserved for things like that, because I was convinced that the internet, like, I was the first person to think, yeah, this is not a good idea. People are going to be watching everything. I was very...
What are you talking about? The NSA shit didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. I just knew that was going to happen, so no.
You weren't a Y2K-er, were you?
No.
You were probably too young and smart for that.
Well, and I also thought, well, if what the fuck are you supposed to do? I mean, if the computer stopped working, all right, well... I guess shit happens. I mean, I don't really think that constitutes getting into a fucking bunker with water.
It is crazy to think about, because it's like, will we just forget the ability to make a computer?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh no, all the computers went crazy. Well, sure wish I could remember how we did it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but as I remember it, the error that got people so worried was that they didn't put enough digits in clocks,
right,
to recognize that a year 2000 could possibly ever happen. How fucking hard can that be to fix?
Like in an operating system?
Yeah, right? I mean, it's not. Add a two. You add a two. You're not having to.
Sean Miller explains computers.
Excuse me, sir. Have you tried adding a two?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the South Park episode. You got me thinking about South Park now, where the internet goes down and Stan walks up and just unplugs the modem.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah,
just the hand-drawn pornography part is just, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
That is one of my favorites as well.
I did want to share a story because I told you when you did the show last week. I think it was last week. And Tyler mentioned a little place called, what was it called now? There were three of them, Foxy Lady and Galaxy Cabaret and Club Erotica. That was the... The double wide trailer, I remember it exactly as you described it too. It was just like all of a sudden I was unconscious in my memories when he was talking about the Club. And there was one time that I went there that I remember it. I think you were with me, and I can't be sure.
Miller's pointing at Tyler.
I'm pointing at Tyler. Sorry. I'm sorry. Where's the cameras? We went there with a girl that I think you graduated with, Tyler, who was very, very reserved, very, very high-class, cute girl in high school with us. Do you remember this at all?
Yeah.
Obviously.
She was none of those things you just described.
Oh, yeah?
Really? But
yeah, no. She was in my class.
Yeah.
She was none of those things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This isn't the girl who sent in a death threat to you, right?
No. Okay.
No. I'm not talking about the one that was working there.
Oh, okay,
no,
never mind.
No. I know what story you were going for. I could have shared that one.
There's so many.
This is why I was telling Dave. I was like, I've got a lot of weird stories of random shit that happens.
You were really excited when you heard that story, because I remember we were at that party.
It was at Shake's party. Yeah.
Right. I remember clearly. Thank you, Miller.
Yeah, buddy.
But you were very excited to tell me that you had like a plethora of Club Erotica stories.
And when I say that, it sounds like I was there all the time, but it wasn't. It's just every time I went, some weird bullshit would happen. This girl had never gone to a strip club in her life, never been to one. And the only one we can find that's open is this Club Erotica. It is exactly as it was described, double-wide trailer. There was a metal pole in the middle, and it wasn't a stripper pole, by the way. It looked like somebody had taken down a street lamp and just put it in the middle.
It's like a tether ball hanging off of it.
Metal folding chairs. The bar looked like something that was just thrown together out of random cedar planks. I don't remember the police tape.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it being a more like, you know, pleather kind of thing, but it was held up not by, you know, metal poles, but little pieces of wood that people had hammered together. Well, anyway, this girl, she was like
craftsmanship.
She was a real carpenter at work there, but she was like, "What am I supposed to do?" I was like, "Give the girl a dollar." And she was like, "I don't think I want to do that." And I was like, "Oh, it's okay. Come here. Just we'll sit up right up front." So we get up there, and she's clearly just freaked out by what's going on around her. And I was just like, "Here, just take this dollar and give it to this. It's not a big deal. She's going to take it from you. She just give it." And it's a nice thing to do. They're trying to put their way through college. But just give her the dollar. These girls were not in fucking college. I tell you that. These, if they were, they were very non-traditional students. So she's like, "Okay." So she very timidly puts her hand up with a dollar bill. The stripper comes, you know, waddling over to her.
That's a good description.
Yeah.
The Oswald couple bot.
She takes the dollar bill, throws it in the girl's lap who's with me, jumps over, gets on her knees, puts her face in her lap, and just starts motorboating her legs right up in there. And then, of course, a minute later comes out with a dollar bill in her mouth. The look of horror on her face was, I'll never forget that. I mean, it was just... Oh, I felt immediately happy and sad, yeah. Like on polar opposite. It was the weirdest feeling.
A little responsible, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad that I had done that, but I was like, she would have never experienced that if I hadn't brought her here. That is a life experience. She can claim to nobody that she had at one point.
And I hope that to this day, whenever anyone asks, do you have a little piece of advice, or is there a motto that you live by? I hope that her answer is never take a dollar from Sean Miller.
Anyway, just wanted to share that. Anytime I come back, I'll try to remember another more hilarious story.
I was about to say, I hope this is a reoccurring come on the show.
I'm happy to.
Miller Stripper Stories. Someone's got to come up with a good name for that.
Because Josh Edwards had actually asked, like, more stripper stories. It should be a segment. So
so we can claim this is in response to his request, although we really had no idea.
The fans demanded it.
Because the fans demanded it, yes.
All right, so today we are talking about a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. We don't normally.
Yeah. I don't think it's the first time.
Side pig.
Mm-hmm. So, but the difference being, this is not on IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games.
Right.
It is the strange anomaly as to, I've investigated other lists. It is on every other Super Nintendo, like top 100 or top 50 list.
Yeah.
It's always on there, but it's not on IGN's.
If you remember the Populous episode, I don't remember who it was that called in, Yuki's cousin maybe, talking about your favorite JRPGs.
Mm-hmm.
And what games do you think were tragically left off? And this game, he mentioned, I think he actually said Secret of Mana, then called back and said, I misspoke. Secret of Mana is on the list. It's Secret of Evermore that's not on there. And that is completely tragic. And I 100% agree, because some of the fucking games you guys have had to play, never mind the four that I've had to play, the ones that you've had to play, it's just like...
So we're playing Secret of Evermore.
Yep.
And do we want to go ahead and get into the discussion of whether or not it belongs in the list? Because you got a good point, Miller. I think it belongs on the list too. And I think I've got a couple of reasons I think that it wasn't.
Okay. Because I 100% think it should be on the list.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think we should have gotten to it yet.
Oh, no.
We're on the list.
I think that it might have been overlooked by IGN, because I remember when it came out, it really wasn't received super well.
It was not, yeah.
I mean, it got pretty decent reviews across the board, but no one was going crazy over it.
It got decent reviews, like in the 80% from almost everything that I looked at.
Yeah, me too.
Going back, which is not horrible.
No, not at all.
But it's also... You know, how many Square RPGs are on the list?
Well,
all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Except for...
But I think one of the reasons, I think you're definitely on the right track, because there are a shitload of Square games that were like, received incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. And back in the day when it was good old Squaresoft.
Right.
And
not Square exactly. Enix. This game, Secret of Evermore, came out, it was sandwiched in between Final Fantasy VI, which came out in 1994, and Chrono Trigger. Well, actually, technically it's not a sandwich. Open Bay Sandwich. Chrono Trigger came out 2 months before this game. That is okay. A really, really fucking hard act to follow. I think the timing on this
game
was
impossible Super Nintendo act to follow.
Holy shit.
You're talking about two games that were both, I think, in the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
On this list and in
every
list.
They're both top five on this list.
Yeah. The whole reason I think also that it probably wasn't as well received and didn't get as much attention, we'll probably learn here in a minute once you start to do a little segment.
A little segment?
Yeah.
It's. I used to think it was your favorite segment. Is it still your favorite segment?
Of course it's my favorite segment. I mean, stripper
now there's
stories.
A stripper segment.
That's my favorite segment from here on out, but sure.
All right, guys. I do have a little segment I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Choo-choo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We need to invest in a train whistle.
Yeah, like a light.
I think I do a damn good job. Fuck off.
All right, guys. The Secret of Evermore is a role-playing video game for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It was released by Square in North America on a fateful day, October 1st, 1995, shortly after Chrono Trigger, like we discussed, unfortunately. In February 96, it saw the PAL territories, PAL, those are the territories that are friendly with one another, of Europe and Australia. The story of Secret of Evermore follows a boy and his pet dog as they are inadvertently transported to a fantasy world created by an eccentric inventor. Player guides. This goes on. You stop me when you actually want to do the show.
No, I mean, that is an accurate synopsis, but I feel like it's too bare bones of a synopsis because it makes the game sound like fun and cheery and imagination, and it's a lot more dark than that.
Yeah. Well, what I was getting at is that this was the first game, and it's probably farther down in Wikipedia. I read this earlier, didn't realize it. Although it makes sense after playing it, this was the first game that Square produced in America.
Right. Yeah, fully developed in America.
Fully developed in the U.S. and not Japan. So when you see, it's set in a U.S. city, Podunk, USA, which that really speaks a lot, I think, to what Japanese people, like, when I thought that, I was like, Japanese people think we're all just fucking idiots. unless they made the character 500 pounds, like, it couldn't have been any more fucking stereotypical of, America, Podunk, Podunk, USA.
He's on his Walmart rider scooter or whatever, McDonald's cup in his hand, Podunkaroo. Man, Dunkaroos. Remember Dunkaroos?
No.
Yeah. Dungaroos?
Dungarines? Dunkaroos was the...
Yeah, I remember dungarees.
Dungaroos was the cookie that was the...
Oh,
kangaroo
and you put it in...
There you go, Dunkaroos.
Yeah, you dunked it into like that ridiculous chocolate or vanilla frosting, right?
That would break the cookie whenever you put it in, yeah.
So that's good for you.
All right, so Secret of Evermore, it starts off, you are Matrix, as I believe is his default name. Anybody know? Anybody remember?
I don't remember what his default name was. I named him something else.
Matrix, because you find out the one thing you know about Matrix at the whole game. Like, one big complaint is about that I have is, like, Matrix is so just one-dimensional. I have no...
Who is Matrix?
No strong attachments to Marty McFly-looking kid.
Okay, I did play this game.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, there's a default name for him? I thought it was just...
That's why in all the guides and stuff I looked for, they all called him Matrix.
That's weird, because I remember playing... When I played it, I think, like, it just had... Choose a name or enter a name.
Yeah,
it's been too long since I started it.
It might be in the instruction booklet or something like that they referred to him as, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Now I know. Matrix.
But he comes out, he likes movies. He really likes movies.
Yeah.
His whole character and all his lines are built upon that one fact. He loves movies.
Yeah.
So he and his dog leave the movie theater. They're walking by and they see an abandoned old house and decide to go inside.
Well, they don't decide to go inside.
Yeah, the dog chases a cat.
Oh, the dog chases a cat inside. Yeah. You're right.
And he follows suit.
Follows suit. There's clunk, clunk, lightning zapping sound. Yeah. And
then the dog like starts chewing on some wires or something, right?
Yeah.
And then you're transported to another world.
I think you do see a brief, a little vignette from 40 years ago when there's a dinner party going around that house.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor... says he wants to do an experiment, and everybody screams and freaks out, and then it ends, and then it picks up with Matrix coming out of the movie theater.
Yeah. Dr. Ruffenberg.
Yeah, I didn't ruffle any of the names.
I'm pretty sure that was it.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I'll go with that.
We're gonna say that's it.
Yep.
So the guy who's playing the Hulk, Dr. Ruffenberg,
Dr. Ruffenberg, yeah. As the Hulk.
Dr. Ruffalo, if you
would. Did a much better job than Dr. Norton.
Or Dr. Banna.
Or Dr. Banna, yeah. Mm.
Matrix is the star of this game on paper, but really the star of this game is the dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about Matrix, but I love that damn dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The dog is also, I don't know when, because this is such a huge game that everything is going to be mishmash talking about it, I feel like, because it's so... But one of the, I think I've got it down as a complaint, is that the dog during the entire game is way more powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Just man. Incredibly more powerful than the actual main character. But he can't do stuff. So you can take control.
He is a dog.
At the, well, I mean, if it was a silverback gorilla, I get it. But it's just, and at one point, he's a fucking poodle, but we'll get into that, too. But, I mean, like, you can take him over and use him and fight with him, but that's almost useless because then Matrix or whoever he is...
Yeah, the AI for alchemy and attacks like that is garbage.
Yeah. So.
Because important point is, in case anyone didn't catch that, you can play as either.
Yes.
And that's
you can switch back and forth.
And that's a really kind of a key component to this game.
I think. That's something I really like about it later on.
Right.
So you really, I guess really there are five eras in this game. And each era, the dog takes on a different appearance. So modern day, he is a Jack Russell Terrier.
Something like that, yeah.
And then in the prehistoric area, or prehistoria as they call it, he is like a
Irish wolfhound kind of thing. Yeah, big, burly, wolfish dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're plunked down in the middle of this jungle, and Matrix is trying to figure out what happened. And you meet cave people and fight giant plants and until you find... Go into a village and you find someone called Fire Eyes.
Who looks like Luca.
Yep.
A little bit like Luca, yeah.
Big Luca with big pigtails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Fire Eyes, I forget her actual name, like Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She was the doctor's granddaughter in the original experiment, and she's been in prehistoria for 40 years and hasn't aged, hasn't changed. Mentally, she's developed. She's not like a little girl, but, and she wants to help you get home back to Podunk. And Matrix throws in all sorts of references to like, oh, this is back like Revenge of the
Space
Mud
Monster.
Skippers, yeah, six. That's all he does is bring up references like how this is like a movie he saw. That's right. It. All Matrix does.
Which I really liked. And you seem annoyed.
I got a kick out of it, but that's all. It's all he does. Like, there's no like development for Matrix. Yeah. I don't get attached to Matrix. I don't even care if he gets back to Podunk or not. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
No, I want to get the dog back to Podunk. That's all I care about.
Well, the dog seems to be enjoying himself, though.
I think the main character of the story, I think it could be argued, is actually the doctor. Because you meet his entire family, essentially. You meet his servant. Like, the whole, the damn game opens up with him.
Oh, I guess you're right. He doesn't go to Prehistoria, first off. He's in Omnitopia.
Right.
First off, in like the futuristic world. And the doctor is, you phase in.
It's like a space station, basically.
And talking to the doctor won't talk to you. His butler immediately ushers you out into the trash room, and where you pick up a bazooka and fight something, and then get sucked in the trash chute and plop down in Prehistoria. Yeah.
But I don't know that I would go as far as to say Dr. Ruffenberg or Ruffalo.
Dr. Ruffalo, Dr. Ruffalo.
I'm going to say that from now on. I don't think you can really argue that he's the main character, because that would be like nobody watches The Wizard of Oz and says the wizard is the main character.
No, because he's not.
Well, I know.
Dorothy is, because she has a story.
Right.
But if you're looking at like people who have a valid storyline, you're right.
Because I don't think the kid, Matrix, by Toyota, by the way. I don't think he really had much of a story other than like just going home.
Yeah,
like,
all the companions, really.
To be fair, I did not finish this game. So I should probably
You only had 6 months to do it. Which we should... I want to just mention how this game came... how this episode came to be.
Please.
We talked about doing this months ago. Very first talked about it. I think we actually talked about doing it before the Populous episode, which was number 80. I think on the list, and now you're at 50.
Uh-huh.
So 30 weeks ago. And now...
Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying, I've been ready to go, and you fuckers were dragging your feet.
Well,
I was. Tyler was being good. I was dragging my feet.
Well, this game starts off incredibly strong. And you can tell people they cared about it. They had money to put toward it. It was great the first half. Half to like 50 to 70% was strong, and then it takes a nosedive. You can tell, like, Square, the team that developed was like, fuck, we are almost over budget. Just cut and paste, cut and paste, cut and paste. Don't care. Finish it.
I know. I read that they originally intended for the game to be half the size that it is.
That would make way much more, way more sense.
They were originally intending for it to be a multiplayer game similar to Secret of Mana, where one player could control Matrix and the other person could control the dog.
Mm-hmm. That would have been fun.
Hell yeah, it would have. But they cut it out because they nearly doubled the content in the game. So it makes me sad to hear that 50% through it takes. Yep. Because maybe they should have just stuck with their original
concept. If they had done their original, I think it would have been a commercial success.
And I think the things, but to me, the things that hurt it are a lot of just really nonsensical, kind of like the forest maze. Do you remember that part? The forest maze it's Gothica.
Yep.
Just a 2 hours worth of nonsensical going back and forth, and unless you look up how to get through it, which I did, I said, fuck it, I gotta look this up.
I did it too.
It would take you forever to find your way through there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a maze like in the sewers in Nobilia. It is extremely maze heavy for no reason.
That's them just trying to fluff up the content. It just becomes mazes of you running back and forth.
Yeah, I encountered the sewers, and I got through the sewers that you're talking about, and it was shortly after that that I stopped playing. Yeah.
Right after that is the forest maze, and it sucks.
Okay.
Yes, it's
But let me, overarching story, the doctor, and he has four companions that basically now rule the four different areas of, well, five companions. Himself, four other companions, they each rule over a different domain. But I feel like progressively each world just starts, you lose a little bit more. Like Prehistoria is where it really shines. And then the next world out after you help, it turns out when you help Fire Eyes, she teaches you alchemy, which that's the magic system in this game.
Right.
Is you just find like different materials, you mix them together for a magical effect.
Right. You have to pair them up. Mm-hmm. What? I know you're going to the story, like, painfully trying to get through it, and we keep interrupting you, but I want to, like, what did you think about the alchemy system? Like, when I came into this recording, I was really curious about this, mainly, is what did you think about the alchemy system, Tyler, because you love magic systems.
I like it in theory. On paper, it sounds like a good idea,
yeah.
But the way you have to pause constantly and shuffle through your menu, it's breaks the momentum, shatters it into pieces.
I agree.
If it had been, like, a quick button system and you set things up, it would have been a lot better. But it goes hand in hand with the animations. Like when you get hit, Matrix like flies back in this super cartoony way and lands down, and there's just not shit you can do for 5 seconds after you get hit. And it becomes an annoying slog between the hit animations where you have to wait and then flipping through your menu trying to get back to your spells and your attack and your equipment. It's not smooth.
No, I agree. I mean, like you say, the idea of finding the ingredients, using them towards something, I think is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It is a little herky-jerky having to go into the menu. I'm not as bothered by that. I was a little bothered by the leveling up of the alchemy.
Oh, man.
I didn't try because I think there are so many different alchemy spells. They should have just found a way to each spell will be a little stronger than the last instead of actually having to level, because you can level them from 1 to 9,
mm-hmm.
but you got to waste so much material doing that.
Yeah.
It takes forever to level up.
Ever. It can be expensive. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of pointless to have that many levels. You know, if you got Fireball, okay, well, what if you have Flare that you get in the next world that's just stronger Fireball, so you mm-hmm. don't have to keep leveling up that same one, and it just takes the same ingredients times two, whatever. Yep. I mean, there's the ways it could have been done a lot more sensibly.
One of the big problems I had with the alchemy system was, and you guys can tell me if I was completely fucking it up, when I left Prehistoria, there were some alchemy spells that I had that I really liked. And when I got to the next era, which is what? Nobilia.
Yeah.
And Antiqua, Nobilia.
Like oh, yeah. I got them flip-flopped, Antiqua.
Yeah, that's right.
When I got there, I had trouble finding the reagents that I needed to cast the spells that I liked from Prehistoria.
Yep.
Could I just not find them, or were they there?
They weren't there.
Well, you can find them from vendors, but yeah. The dog's less likely to find them, which that's something else that he didn't mention yet. But
yeah, you could turn the dog on autopilot to sniff out reagents and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think is a cool feature.
Well, yeah, I really, really like that's one of the things I like most about the game.
Me too. Because if there's one thing I really don't like, it's going up to a bookshelf and hitting B and then like not accepting the fact that I didn't find a secret item there and going right back up to that bookshelf and hitting B again.
Yeah.
The dog eliminates that because
You give him enough time to sniff around, he'll find whatever's
there. The fucker's going to find
something. He's never wrong. Yeah, eventually he'll find something. But I did find one, what I had to do, what I did that made the game much, much easier, is there's one special spot in Antiqua to where the vendor who sells all the reagents for the crush spell, where he's right there, and outside his hut is several enemies that drop a ton of gold and don't have a lot of health.
The Maguses, the guys with the spinning staffs.
Yep. So you can just spam all you want, crush, go back in. You can grind out, crush to level 9 right there. And then I just mowed through the game. No problem. Crush was effective until the last dungeon for me. It was just super easy breeze after that.
I almost never used alchemy at all. Unless I just absolutely had to, I didn't use it at all.
I was like that too.
But it wasn't until, I think I used alchemy on the very first boss, the Thrax.
I was the same exact way, man. I didn't
with it. That was the only time I used it. And the bosses in this game, by the way, are a joke.
I think
Thrax is hard.
I thought Thrax was hard.
I thought he was hard until I realized what I was doing wrong.
Right.
But this is something that I didn't discover until pretty far into the game. The spear power-up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't know that you can do that, then you will have a real hard time.
I didn't know about it until the guide, until I read a guide. Exactly. I had no idea.
You wouldn't know until it levels up. Because like you said earlier, you can level up alchemy. Each weapon you get, you also can level up, correct? Like there's four different types of weapons.
Yeah, there's sword, axe, spear, and then the bazooka, but that really doesn't come into...
You get to the beginning and at the end.
Yeah.
And when you level up a weapon, it gains a new weapon skill, right? Something new that you can do with it.
Yeah.
The spear is the fact that you can throw it, which you haven't had a ranged weapon in this game up until then, right? Except for alchemy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a fucking game changer.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's no like NPC that talks about it or tells you about it. You just have to
run across it on accident. Yeah. Accidentally forget to pick up your finger when you press the A button or whatever it is.
Or accidentally find it on GameFAQs like I did. There you go.
Happened to be browsing through GameFAQs and what do you know? But I mean, after that, I would rarely use alchemy because I never leveled up alchemy, never leveled up any of my spells. So I would get more damage on a boss just running out of screen, back into screen, throwing the spear, then running back out of screen. And I could do that with damn near. Other than that, the only time you had to do anything was just move out of the way of something.
Yeah.
Like the chariot boss.
Yeah, just, without throwing the spear, I thought the chariot boss would have been impossible.
Oh, it would have been absolutely impossible. Yeah. So, but I thought all the bosses just in general were pretty, because I had more trouble before getting the spear just with regular mobs, because the range is so weird. You got to get right up on them to hit them. And if you get that close, you're 50% chance you're going to get fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're going to get knocked back, and then you're going to have that 5-second delay that you were talking about. So, yeah, I mean, I thought the combat in the game was much harder than the actual bosses.
Yeah. I thought the weapons frustrated me a little bit, because you're constantly, unless you're grinding, the natural progression is you'll get a weapon, level it up once, get a new weapon that's better that makes that weapon obsolete, and then you keep that one, you get another one that makes it obsolete. There's no reason to level up other weapons except for a spear.
Right, and that's the thing is, after I first got the spear that would throw, I didn't use a sword or an axe, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't give a shit if it does up-close damage. I'm way better off just charging up and throwing it. So the swords and the axes were just useless as far as I was concerned. I mean, it's nice little piece of depth to have them there, but other than that, just not very effective.
Yeah.
Here.
So outside of everything dealing with weapons, there's also the trade system that happened in game that all went around these amulets of annihilation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That turned me off. Quick.
The bazaar did.
Yeah, the bazaar, and then like the skeleton in the rowboat that would row you across the desert.
Yeah, that was.
I liked that. I liked him.
I think that was kind of neat, but also wasteful. Like that's why you went over like into double territory of what you meant to put into this game, because of shit like that, because of a huge expansive desert that did nothing.
Yeah.
I hated the bazaar as well at first, until I was like, wait a minute, I have the fucking internet.
Yeah.
type. I can make a lot of money doing this. Type. Oh, and get a whole lot of cool shit. All right, let's do it in 10 minutes.
Yeah. See, I didn't even want to read all that. I was just like, bags of rice, a jeweled scarab. No.
I'm with you. I tried it first, and I got like, exactly. I got like 3 minutes in. I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. And then I looked it up to see if there's anything cool you can get from it.
I loved the bazaar. I absolutely loved it. Had I felt like taking more time, I would have enjoyed actually going through without looking up a guide. I did eventually look up a guide because I didn't want to waste that kind of time. At one point, I thought we were on a time frame to do the show. So I felt like I needed to get through it.
Oh, man. Are you ready to do this like soon? I gotta do this.
Meanwhile,
do listen to the show, right?
That the bizarring that I did happened a month and a half ago. I really could have gone back and taken my time at that point. But no, I really love that. There is a movie, I can't remember what it is. This is the kind of thing that pisses me off when I'm listening to the show when y'all do this.
Nicole, whatever movie you're going to describe, Nicole's going to yell it. It's
a
movie or maybe
a show, but it's basically like I'll tell you what it is. It's The Office. It was on The Office. They have like a garage sale. Yeah, it was the episode of The Office where they were doing the garage sale down in the warehouse. And they want to take like Dwight takes the cheapest item he could find and then trades it up to the most, like, and makes a really good trade, you know, after all. Like, I really like that idea. Like, okay, if I get, you know, some chickens, what can I get for these chickens and a couple jewels? Like, what's going to happen? So I really enjoyed that part. That was actually one of my favorite things about the game.
Okay.
So, sorry you hated it. Well, although it's absolutely skippable, too. I mean, it's not something you have to spend any time.
Clearly. The only thing that I feel like I missed out on was the silver sheath that you can get.
Yeah.
That, makes your whatever sword you have do a lot more damage if you have it equipped.
There's also a chocobo egg, which that was a nod to their Final Fantasy series.
Does that do anything?
I can't remember what. I think it gives you more experience.
Okay.
So I think, isn't that what the chocobo egg is in Final Fantasy VI? Three. I say three because fucking my cartridge said three. So as far as I'm concerned, it's Final Fantasy III.
You're talking about the experience egg. Oh, double experience. Your experience.
Oh, okay.
We should have been like total like comic book guys there. Well, actually, Miller.
I mean, they were wrong, perhaps.
I'm just saying my cartridge said Final Fantasy III.
I think you mean Final Fantasy VI, Miller.
I think you need to shut the fuck up.
There's another Final Fantasy VI reference, or three reference.
There are a few.
Well, there's a Final Fantasy II reference.
I think I missed that one.
Final Fantasy IV.
Miller, Final Fantasy IV.
That's the biggest reference is probably that one.
Yeah.
I must not have gotten to it.
It's Cecil in the...
No shit.
In Nobilia.
Mm-hmm.
Cecil is there. You don't see Rosa, but he references Rosa as his wife, and he's running an armor shop.
You buy armor and gear from him.
Yeah.
Did you see the Final Fantasy VI crew in the Colosseum?
Yeah, I didn't notice that until you sent me the screen cap.
No, I think I read about that, though.
Yeah, somewhere. Mog and Strago and Locke and Celeste, I think, are hanging out in the Colosseum audience.
Yeah. So it's a nice throwback to all the other Square hits. I like that part.
Yeah.
But really... overarching theme, Secret of Evermore. Every companion is out there in a different part of the world, and there are evil robot versions of them that are trying to take over. So in each different scene of history, then you're trying to defeat the evil robot companion. That's really all it comes down to. And once you defeat all of them, you find a little gnome-type guy who builds you a rocket ship, and you can go to the first area again.
Space station.
Yep. I think it's Omnitopia.
Yeah.
Because let's see, your dog is a wolf in Prehistoria, looks like a greyhound
right.
in the next one, and then a poodle.
Pink poodle.
And the one after that. And the last one, he's like a toaster.
He's a toaster, yeah.
So,
but it's a toaster that fires.
The toaster is way more powerful than any other form.
Yeah. He fires lasers out of his back.
And then really, once you get the, around that time you get the bazooka again.
Yeah.
And you don't need any other weapons for any other reason once you get the bazooka back. So all that grinding and thing you've done to get all these cool accessories, nope, bazooka.
Yep.
Get the rare rounds for it.
It's a lot like Castlevania is what you're saying.
Yep. There's an optional
boss. They
take
away your bazooka in the beginning, and then the rest of the game is just trying to recollect
your trying to get all your Alucard armor back. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that for another Ship Monday sometime.
Symphony of the Night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Castlevania.
Symphony of the Night?
Symphony of the Night, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the bazooka, I think you get it earlier too, just as...
Oh, you can just use it as like a club.
You use it like a club. So you don't necessarily have to have rounds for it, but it's not super effective that way at all.
So clearly Matrix gets smarter throughout the game. That's his big character development. Oh, I can shoot this thing.
Yeah, or boom.
And I don't want to get away from the show without referencing and remembering the fact that every time Matrix introduces his dog, because I thought that was one of the more endearing things about the game, is this is my dog. He's not feeling himself lately because he's something different every time. And he uses that line at least four times throughout the game.
once in each era.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd say once your dog transforms into the poodle, the game is essentially over, because that's when you get mazes, stuff's repetitive, bosses only do, they move like rooks on the screen, and they have like two moves.
You dislike poodles that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one, yeah, I do. I don't, I'm not a fan of poodles.
You just set the controller down.
Poodles, no, I'm done. Out.
Yeah, I mean,
call my brother, he can play the poodle part, and then I'm done again.
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of parts after that point that it does. And at one point after, before you go in the spaceship or the shuttle to send you up to the spaceship, you have to go back to areas you've already been to collect pieces. That seemed
really I hate useless. It when games do that. They're just, they just want to add more time onto it. So you just go have to maneuver back through the same dungeons. I remember in Prehistoria, you fought the same boss with a color swap.
No, I don't like that.
It's garbage.
Oh, I don't like that.
But it also, and it doesn't tell you, it doesn't give you any direction. It's like, oh, you need to get the diamond eyes from that were on the statue in Antigua. Okay, you know there's only one place you can land the little airship in Antigua. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck do you go from there? It would take you a long time to figure out where you were supposed to go to find out where you were supposed to go.
Yeah.
To find out where you're supposed to
go. One strongman NPC has taken the eyes and retreated and become like the god of these gremlin people.
Yeah.
And that boss battle was infuriating because he stands in the middle and throws rocks at you.
Yeah.
And then the little gremlins come out
and
get you.
No, he doesn't throw rocks. He throws
the gremlins.
They're called oglins, I think.
Oglins.
Yeah, he throws
goblins,
the oglins.
Not goblins, oglins. But you have to move these teleporters, and one will happen to randomly teleport you where he is. But it's random. Like, it might take you 2 minutes. It might take you 2 hours. It's completely random.
It's awful. That part is very awful.
I think it took me 40 minutes before it put me up on the right platform.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was awful. So, really, I mean, I think the game is pretty stupendous the first
50%. Yeah.
And then it's just, if they had compressed all that together and kept the original scheme of playing the guy and the dog, fucking great.
I'm kind of glad I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Kind of glad I didn't finish it.
And so, when you were talking about, like, I should finish it, like, oh, I don't know if you should finish it.
Well, where did you get to?
I got almost to the end of Antigua, the second.
Okay. I mean, that is where it slows down. Did you, by the way, watch the entire ending?
Yeah.
Like after Dr. Ruffenberg comes back?
That made me mad.
That made you mad?
That made me mad.
I think it's pretty funny.
It's like, you dumb bastard.
Yeah. Essentially, like after credits.
Spoilers. Everybody remember this 1996 game? Spoilers.
Yeah. Okay, after credits roll, you've gone back. Dr. Ruffalo is hulking out in his lab, and he goes up and he's got the evil robot, Carlton, I think was his name.
It turns out the whole time the butler is the boss.
Right.
He's been manipulating.
The butler did it.
Yep. The robot butler is wanting more fairness to robot kind.
That's a callback to B-movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes and he goes up to Carlton and says, "Now, Carlton, you're going to be a good boy," or whatever. And he just clean. You're doing a good job. No more plans to take over the world. Then he walks out and you just see all you see is a hand motion of basically a feather duster go up, down, up, down, up, down, up. And he just slowly turns and looks towards you and starts rubbing his hands together. That motherfucker's still at world domination.
Diabolical, that robot.
You fight him as the boss, and then he's about to kill everybody. The doctor phases him out of reality real quick, just with a button, and then brings him back again and tells him to be a good boy.
To listen to you describe it, I'm like, I love this game, and I'm listening to you describe it, you're not wrong.
I enjoyed playing it, but it has some really weird things
about it.
Why
did I like this game so much?
Yeah. It's fun to play, but there are just so many things, I feel like obvious things that they could have just changed and made it a really stupendous game.
Yeah, no, I mean, no doubt. Like I said, I had things written down that I thought were almost game-breaking, and those mazes and the repetition and the fact that a lot of the directions, like I said, where are you supposed to go now? Where are you supposed to go to find these things? That really kills a lot of the game. And it's so, there was one point I did rage quit. I rage quit and said, I'm not going to finish the game.
Yeah.
But I'd played it before and finished it, and I'd forgot about this room. But in Omnitopia, there's a room full of plants.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the plants are completely dormant, but some will attack you.
Okay.
If they attack you, one shot kill.
Holy shit.
There's nothing
really?
You can do. You were dead.
You are dead.
That's not a fight or anything.
No, you can't fight them. So I would have, like, I think I had to go back to, and the last save point is behind a maze. So I would have to go through the maze over and over again. God. And if you just happen to walk in front of the wrong one. So without drawing a diagram of which ones will attack you and won't attack you, it's...
Which you have to find through, what, trial and error, I imagine?
There is a shortcut to doing it.
Is there?
Yeah, and one of, there's, because you're going through this multi-level maze where everything looks the same. It is shitty. And one little section of it, you can find the power supply, and you turn the lights off in the room. And when the lights are off in the room, the plants don't do anything.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay.
Is there? I'm assuming there's no, like, clue or anything.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
None whatsoever.
Well, I mean, I remember finding the light switch, but I turned it on because I just thought, you're supposed to fucking lights on. Right. How am I going to find my way through there? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive to what you would think. Yeah.
So that part was really,
Did the developers think that plants go to bed?
I guess so.
Well, photosynthesis at night, the plant,
But no, I mean, you could get through there without having the lights off. They give you, once you get a little bit close, they'll swing out and attack. So you can see, okay, I need to be careful with that one.
Okay.
And you can send your... This is terrible. You can send the dog in as a fucking sacrifice. Switch the dog, run up there. It'll pull him in and be chewing on him, and then you can run past. Then you could, I mean, I guess if you
want to. The dog's easy to resurrect, so you could just use him as a device.
Yeah. You could do that, but it was just because you kept having to go back to the maze. Through the maze, do it over again. Ugh.
It all looked the same. They're just like numbers on different sectors.
Yeah.
It was
like a grid, A5 through D5.
So we're sure that this should be on IGN's top 100?
It should be.
I mean,
because it sounds...
It's easy to shit on.
You're painting a grim picture here.
Yeah. Well, see, but here's the thing. To me, I've got all these complaints because I care about this game, because I think it is a good game and could have been made better.
Yeah.
Like, it's for Joe and Mac 2, I didn't have a lot of complaints because I just didn't give a shit about that game. Right? I mean, it's like, this is not the kind of game you can have feelings for. It's just a game you play. This, like, you can get into it. There is a story. It's an RPG. Mm-hmm. And I think, of course, you know me. I mean, anybody that listened to the show and when I've been on knows I'm an RPG guy, specifically MMORPGs.
Wait till our interview.
But I love RPGs. But another thing about this is that I think why it probably didn't get as much attention, it did stray from a lot of the other Square normal things, like the fact that there wasn't turn-based combat.
Right.
That was not something, I mean, Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, all the more popular ones are all but turn-based. And most, well, I don't know if I'd say most, but a good percentage of RPGs from this era were turn-based combat.
Yeah, definitely.
So the action combat fit into an RPG world. The action combat, I think, probably people tilted their head at a little bit.
Secret of Mana did it a few years earlier. Squaresoft did that.
I hear that's what they've done right.
And that's, I mean, Secret of Mana is received.
That's farther down on the list, incredibly, right?
Yeah,
it is. It's like two, it's one, two? No, it's three, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's in the top, I think, it's definitely in the top 10.
See, I didn't even like Secret of Mana, to be honest.
I've played 30 minutes of it, and I got stuck when I was in middle school.
Really?
And I just never turned back on it. I loved it.
That is the game that got me into RPGs. Lord Matt Barger made me play it, because he owned it. He let me borrow it, and man, I loved it. And then immediately played Final Fantasy VI after that, and then immediately played Chrono Trigger after that, and then, you know.
Yeah.
And it snowballed.
Yada, yada, yada. Now I'm 30 and we're doing a podcast on video games.
Right.
It also has only a single person. You don't have groups. You're not picking up people along the way, which that's one of my favorite things about RPGs is who am I going to get to find to join this motley crew of adventurers?
And what girl am I going to name them after?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What girl that I've been swooning over in middle school for years am I going to name this one after? So, I mean, I could see that it strayed from probably the normal, what people thought of at the time, a little bit too much. And it being an American development, I wonder if people, when this game was actually released in other places, if they really got it. Because, like, the pop culture movie references kinds of things, like, that's something kind of funny that people can relate to. I don't know how that translates.
Yeah.
But that's what I didn't mark that down as one of the good things before I realized that there was an American developed game was like there wasn't just like horrible translation issues. Turns out there's a reason for that.
That is refreshing though, isn't it? Because when I was playing it, I was like, wow, I know what's going on. Like, there's no question about what's going on. The story is very clear.
Because really, if I were to compare it to another game on the list, I would say this is every bit as good as Illusion of Gaia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think it syncs up with Illusion of Gaia. I think it's better than Illusion of Gaia,
from what I played, at least.
From, like, just comparing the issues of, like, story and things like that, I think they balance out.
Okay, so
I would put Secret Evermore higher on the list.
Okay.
But I think it's as good as Illusion of Gaia.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really like Illusion of Gaia that much. I see what you're getting at. I mean, it's a more similar sort of setup, but yeah, I like it. I would almost, well, I was going to say it made me think of Earthbound just because of the more modern, like, this is one RPG where you're not in fucking fairyland.
Yeah.
Where you're not, and where you are is actually historical, so, you know, there's not, it's not the same kind of things you would see in a Final Fantasy, so we could intercept things like that.
Yeah.
It's so I thought of Earthbound. I didn't play Earthbound.
It's a science fiction setting as opposed to a fantasy setting.
Right. Well said.
I also don't think it was marketed well. Have you seen there's a television commercial for the game that is on YouTube. So if you haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out because it does have game footage in it and it's a proper representation of the game, but everything else is so like horror. It's really bizarre because it gives you the impression that it's a horror game, which it really isn't.
It could have started off like that, but it changes pretty quickly.
But like there's a scene where like the cave dog comes out of the dog. Like it's kind of like your regular dog is wearing a cave, like there's a cave dog wearing a regular dog suit and it's like bursting at like its head comes out of the other one's mouth. Yeah. So check it out.
So the director played the first 5 minutes of Secret Evermore and then made a commercial.
Even the soundtrack, I saw the album art for the soundtrack and it's got like this, it's separated, it's divided in half, right? You've got a top half and a bottom half. And the top half, it's this like angry looking dude's, the top of an angry looking dude's face, right? And it's on red. And then down below, it's this like snarling wolf. It's really weird. It's like they made the game and then they were like, we're going to market this as something really creepy and scary and hope that people buy it.
Well, I've got some achievements.
Do you?
I do.
What you got?
The first one being Full Metal Alchemist, which that is gather all the alchemy formulae, which is difficult to do because there are some that are really hidden and obtuse. But once you miss one, there's no going back.
Yeah, I didn't come anywhere close to them.
Yeah, I think I missed like 8.
I've never bothered to count, but I'd say I've missed at least that many.
And the other one is kind of a give me as you play through the game. This would be an automatic one. Bazooka Joe. That's you beat the first boss with a bazooka.
Nice. Miller, do you have any?
Yeah.
Man, fuck.
The exact same one. Find every alchemy recipe.
Oh, yeah, me too. But I had that one too.
I named that Nicholas Flamel would be proud.
That's good. That's good.
Bone Daddy. Finish the entire game using only the Bone Crusher sword.
I thought about a bone achievement. I was like, boner. No, I'll just bazooka chip.
And then you cheap prick, which is finishing the entire game without ever buying anything from a vendor, including alchemy ingredients.
You could do it. That'd be hard. That's done. That's a gold.
Yeah.
Gold trophy.
The only thing I can think of, and the only reason I can even think of it, is because I didn't encounter it in the game. But you can get a gourd, right?
Magic gourd, yeah.
A magic gourd that, as far as anyone in the world knows, does nothing.
Nope.
Right? Like, nothing at all.
I've read some speculation on what it might do, but I no.
So in order to get this, because I believe that almost, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but 60% of Canadians are named Gordon.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So this is a Canadian
Gordon Bombay, yeah. Right. Yeah.
since this was developed fully in North America, and Canada's our lovely neighbor to the north. There, yeah. Our America hat. Well, we lost Canada.
Our America.
Everybody who listened from Canada.
Fuck those guys, eh?
We lost them. In order to unlock the achievement Gordo, you have to find the magic gourd in the bazaar.
I also would have accepted Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
I thought you were going to say to get that achievement, you had to take your Super Nintendo to Canada, beat it while you were across the border.
Yes.
That would be an amazing achievement.
Yes, actually, that is what I meant. I like that, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
We've talked a lot about Secret of Evermore.
We recorded a podcast today. Yeah.
Yep. I got to be honest. This is not one I'd recommend to new listeners.
No, I love it. I've had a great time. This is a great podcast.
Great.
We're positive. We're great. On the plane of positive energy here.
Yeah. I mean, let me just say I hope Tim Allen's not listening to this one. Like, if he could skip an episode, I hope it's this one. And it's all on me, honestly. But Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dave.
We recorded a podcast today. If you had to give Secret of Evermore a type of beard that would tell the world what this game is all about, what kind of beard would it be?
I would give this game Alexis Arquette's girlfriend before he came out and transitioned.
Oh, okay.
So that is a beard.
Is that because the dog changes?
Yeah. That's good.
I had no idea. I had no idea who you were talking about or where you were going with that, but that better be the fucking reason. Because that's hilarious.
I'll say, I was thinking more, it's like Alexis Arquette is sort of the bastard child of the Arquette family. So you have Evermore as the bastard child of the Square Super Nintendo legacy.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The beard I was going
okay.
for.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
I like Dave's explanation. I'm not going to lie to you.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I liked that beard a lot.
Put a lot of thought into that beard.
I like that beard. And, you know, it might be because of my love of the Arquettes.
Can't stop this motherfucker from talking about David Arquette.
Two things I love. Tim Allen, the Arquettes. I don't understand why they never had a reality show. But anyway, if you were to give this game a pair of glasses that just encapsulated what this game is all about, what kind of glasses would that be?
I would give it, again, a little different, two glasses full of Crystal Pepsi.
Okay. All right.
Because
those
like,
are glasses.
Yeah, they are glasses.
So this is the last episode, right? Like we've run out of shit to talk about.
It's amazing that over the development of this podcast, beards have turned into just like, I don't know, sweaters. And glasses are various forms of helmets. It's like, it's a helmet with a visor on it, but it's a helmet that has the horns with the thing, and it's like, those are the glasses.
You figured me out.
It's going to come down to, what kind of glasses would you give it? All right, stay with me, folks. You know those rocking chairs that you see out in front of Cracker Barrel? It's the glass in the windows behind those rocking chairs. And when a little kid looks through them and sees all the cool shit in Cracker Barrel, he really wants...
something I would do.
He really wants
something I would do.
He really wants that slide whistle, but his mom won't buy it for him because he knows it'll be too loud in the house, and his dad's gonna get super pissed and take it away from him. That chair, the car that's parked in front of that chair, has a rear view mirror on it. Okay, that's enough.
I honestly think that you should just edit the last 4 minutes of this episode and then just release that as the episode.
Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi.
Had a lot of buildup and then just died. Had a lot of promise, this Crystal Pepsi. And you've got two glasses of it, and you don't like, the first glass is okay, the second half is not any good.
Oh, okay. But you have to drink it.
You have to drink it.
Yeah, unless you're me.
And what's so sad, that's the perfect analogy, too.
Oh, right, oh God.
That's all I got.
Some people called us.
Yeah.
Well, do we have time?
Yeah, we'll make time.
Okay.
I'll cut out all that stuff we talk about the game.
Yeah. First call.
How's it going? Tony. Calling. I was browsing Reddit the other day, or I guess earlier today, and I was on the Ask Reddit page, as I often am, and
you're on
I saw a question
Moore.
On there that I thought would be pretty funny. It has a lot of fucking responses on Reddit. I thought you guys might take a crack at it. I know I've asked something similar in the past, but this one has a unique twist. So the question on Ask Reddit was to name a superpower that you wish you had. So my challenge is for one of you to name a superpower, and the other one gives the weakness to that super cool that I saw was teleportation, and the weakness was you always arrive upside down. So I challenge you guys to come up with one each. I think that would be pretty funny. Keep up the good work, guys, and I will be looking.
Tony died there.
I think he'll be listening.
So
hopefully.
That was a question.
Tony, I hope you get better.
Didn't Hanpog answer that question? They talked about invisibility versus flight or something like that.
Yeah, but what would be the weakness? Like, I can think of my normal response is dream control.
Your superpower you want is dream control.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What's the weakness to that would be that it's dream control.
You can only make, like, you can control your own dreams or other people's dreams. You can only
lucid dream. That's my superpower.
You can only make people dream about dicks.
That's all I'll be doing anyway. So.
You can only make people dream in Tadpog episode.
Oh, this poor
your
people.
Dream is listening to the entire like Sunset Riders episode.
That's got like 1,200 listens. That's not so bad.
Exactly. What about Dave?
Mine has always been multiplication. I want to be able to multiply numbers because
I never
learned 8 times 8. That one was always tricky for me. 64. I got it now, no. But as a kid,
you flip through notes. 8 times 8, 64. I know it.
Yeah, if you could just edit in a little a pause there, rapidly flipping through Notepad.
But the weakness to, like, if you were multiple man,
yeah,
I guess that subtract. each multiple, yeah, you could never get rid of them, or that each one had half of all your stats and half of all your lifespan.
Copy of
so a you
copy.
could multiply enough, you could make 1,000 copies and they all die in a minute because you've reduced your lifespan by 1,000.
I don't care though, you just helped me out because all I want to do is dominate those fuckers and bend them to my will. Now I can. Much easier.
Dominate those motherfuckers.
They're going to sit down with me and do flashcard exercises.
Man, I loved Math Train when I was younger.
What is Math Train?
Math Train?
No.
To where all the students, you'd stand up, you'd walk desk to desk, and the teacher would have flashcards and hold up an addition or multiplication on the flashcard.
Oh, man. Okay.
And the first person to say it got to keep going.
No, I would have choked. Like, this is like the definition of me like having a breakdown in school. I would fucking choke and just stand there and stammer until I got sent to the principal's office in tears.
The way you're describing this, like, you can have any superpower you want. What would it be? I'd be able to multiply. Like, that must have been pretty fucking horrible for you in elementary school. If you're willing to just forego super strength, telekinesis, I want to do math because I was humiliated.
It's a cornerstone. Yeah, it was. It really turned my life. Shoo. Math train. So if you answered it correctly, you got to go.
Yep.
If you didn't, what happened?
You sat back down, and the kid kept going. So the first person to make it all the way across the classroom won.
And you enjoyed this?
I did.
Mm, okay. Can we? No, never mind. I don't want to do Math Train on the show.
three of us play Math Train.
I almost just like got dangerous there. I do not want to play Math Train. Fuck. Miller.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer? What would your superpower be?
I've thought long and hard about this because I'm a sad person. If I had to have a superpower, I think it would be telekinesis, actually. I think that's the most. Like, you know, somebody might say super strength. Well, I can pick that giant boulder up with my fucking head, so why would
weakness.
I want to be super strong?
Well, doesn't work on boulders.
Yeah, it doesn't work on boulders. It doesn't work when I need it to. Like, if I ever see somebody trapped underneath a car, it just doesn't work. But if I'm just, like, sitting here and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can lift up that chair. Cool.
Or it only works in one direction. You can either pull it or you can push it.
Oh, I like
and
that.
That's it.
Like force powers.
I can lift things with my mind. I just can't set them down with my mind. So I can lift something up, and then if I let it go, well, it just fucking break.
But I think you'd be more frequently using it to lift chairs and shit and just showing it off, right? Because how often does someone get trapped under a car? Almost never, right? There's no recorded fatality.
Nope.
Where someone's been trapped under a car. It just hasn't happened.
I bet it's happened.
No.
Probably not in Paducah.
No, I'm pretty sure it has.
In Gotham City, it happens all the time.
I went to high school with a girl who had like one sort of, wasn't quite a lazy eye, but it was more of a roaming eye.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody asked her what happened to her.
Oh,
and
no.
She said when she was little, she got her head run over by a tractor. And that is what made her eye.
That's a lie.
Probably, but
that sounds a little far-fetched. I think she was just full of her sympathy.
I remember we were always talking about how did she survive that? Like, was it just super rainy, so her head just mashed into the mud? Or was she a baby and, like, her head just, like, squished around the tire?
Her little brother just threw a little, like, tractor figure and hit her in the eyeball with it's what happened. But it sounds a lot fucking cooler if you're like, yeah.
I like to think that she had to sit down first at math train and the trauma manifested physically. I'm just saying, that's not nearly as far-fetched as being stuck under a car.
Thank you, Impresario Tony.
Yes, thank you.
Hello, Tyler, Dave, Beards and Glasses. This is Dennis. It's been a while since I talked to you guys, and I've been meaning to call. I've just been busy with the new kid.
Fatherhood.
I don't really have any old kids, but, you know, the kid I have. And I just wanted to first congratulate Tyler on the big news and right away ask him what will be the first game he looks forward to sharing with his new offspring. And also, the main reason I called is I had a big question from a couple of weeks ago that I never had a chance to ask Tyler, which is he talked about picking up a girl doing Dance Fever, or I can't remember the name of the game, but the dancing video or K game in a movie theater.
Pump it up.
And basically, what I was wondering was, A, what did this girl look like? B, how did you achieve this? And C, do you feel that you're the only one on Earth that has ever done it? Oh, and I guess D, when you say that you dated her, what exactly does that mean? Did it last just a few hours, and was the date in the parking lot behind the theater? Was there money exchanged? All right, guys. Well, I still love the show. Sorry I don't call in more. I get super busy with everything, so take care and keep doing a good job, I guess. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right, Tyler, you got a lot of questions.
All right. Well, the first, what game would I share first with my son?
That's a big fucking question.
Or daughter. You got to teach him fundamentals. I can't start him out with Earthbound, Chrono Trigger. So I'd say first is probably got to be a Mario game.
Okay. Which Mario game?
Some kind of Mario game.
It's got to be the best one. Which Mario game is the best Mario game?
See, what I would say, I don't necessarily think it's the best Mario game. But I think what I would start off on is probably Super Mario World.
Okay.
Which I think is a really great one. Excellent game. I wouldn't say it's my favorite one.
Also not my favorite, but an excellent one.
A really good one. It's good basics. It's not... Mario 3 can get complicated. So I feel like the colors and there's Yoshi and there's enough there. Super Mario World.
Okay. Not Mario's Missing.
No, God. I watched the show notes of like that fucking game.
Great. I get to post it again in the show notes.
And Dennis's question about the Pump It Up girl.
Yes.
That is a long story. I will give that next week as my intro.
Sweet.
Okay. So it's a story.
But I would like to mention... Story. You're not the only person in the world to ever pick somebody up playing DDR or Pump It Up like that. If you watched King of the Hill, you would know clearly when Bobby went with his father to Japan.
Yeah, that's true.
He picked up a girl at the arcade who was playing Pump It Up or some version of it.
You made John Turley so happy right now.
Yep. Because she kept saying, we always say things like, Kailaru. Like, she always says, Dansu? Dance? I don't know if that's actually the Japanese word for dance, or if they're just putting in a racist U at the end of the word dance.
Well, Renashin Shake gets to this episode in like 2 years, yeah. He'll tell
well,
you.
No.
But thank you, Lord Dennis.
And technically that was already a story. You already used it as a story. So that's not fair. You can't use a story twice, man.
No, there's more to the story.
Okay.
So
you're holding back. You're like EA. You're holding back your content.
It's if I were to tell the whole tale of heartbreak and woe and just teenage angst.
All right. I'm looking forward to
okay.
that.
Okay.
It's just an entire John Hughes movie.
Ted Talk, Baby Dips calling again. I did share your Monday episode, the one with Ashley Shake on it. So on Facebook. So I appreciate the lack of buttholes in the description. So I did share it. So just so you know, I'm a man of my word. Yoshi's Cookie reminded me of a couple of my pet peeves as a kid growing up related to Nintendo Power, which were, number one, Nintendo Power featuring a puzzle game on the front, and number two, Nintendo Power featuring a, this was the time when I was a kid. Really wasn't into the Game Boy, even though I did have one. The only puzzle game I've really ever been into was Game Boy Tetris, and anything else was just a poor imitation and not something that I was into. So it didn't sound like you guys were too into it either. I had a question for Tyler. Congratulations on the impending birth of your child. Are you concerned at all about the child infringing on your gaming time, because I have a 3-year-old. She was born 13 days prior to the release of Fallout New Vegas. So you could still kill someone with the daggers that were shot my way the day I came out, opened the package, installed it, and tried to play it with a 360 controller with my forearms in a V shape to balance my infant daughter while I played New Vegas with the 360 controller on the PC. So it was a rough year or so. Now I've managed to find an equilibrium of being able to play and take care of my child without feeling like a deadbeat dad. So that's good. But hang in there. Thanks a lot. And talk to you guys later. Bye.
I want to point out before you answer anything, your child isn't even born yet.
Nope.
And already people are telling you to hang in there.
Yep.
How does that make you feel?
What I've always suspected.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you are prepared then?
No.
Okay. Oh.
Nope.
Look at the guy.
I just imagine the baby Dib said, like, I hate the Game Boy. I mean, I had one. Like, him just holding it disdainfully, like, I hate this fucking piece of shit.
He just didn't have his Ghostbuster house. That's the problem. True.
There is a good picture on Reddit of a guy playing 360 with his child on his chest.
I'm thinking the same thing. He's got like a baby Bjorn or something, right?
Well, I love the pictures on Reddit of when you give the kid, once they get old enough, I guess, to do that, give them a controller that's not plugged in. And they'll just sit there just staring and mashing buttons for 3 hours while you're actually playing the game.
I was that kid, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I could totally, whenever we go to Pizza Hut, they had an arcade machine that I always wanted to play. My parents would give me a nickel.
It doesn't take nickels.
Right. I put the nickel in, it would slide through, and I would just play it the game over screen. And when I got tired, I would walk away, and then my mom or dad would come and retrieve the nickel from the machine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, the baby Bjorn is a good idea. I've also, my mom lives about 10 minutes away, so I'm sure she'll be glad to come over and just hold the baby while I play Steam.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be thrilled about that.
So it's, I was like, Mom, it's for work. Tadpog is work. Mom is a work. It's a work assignment.
Man, if I ever pick up your phone and go through your contacts and see you've changed your mom to hold a baby. I don't know how I'm going to react to that. I don't know if that's an awesome thing or a really sad thing.
I'll work it out. Okay. I'll work it out.
And by the way, the whole buttholes in the description, were you putting the word butthole in the description of the show? Or
I might have once or twice.
Yeah, I think after Kribo Boots' review, I was like, this episode is definitely more buttholes than not. Yeah. So that's...
Okay, so I didn't know if the objection was to talking about buttholes or just putting it on the description of the show.
We can talk, all the content can be as blue buttholes as we want. We just can't say butthole in the description.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better.
And what I'd like to, I'll answer your question with a question. How can you not talk about Tadpog without talking about buttholes? Right?
I don't know, man.
God, I hope he shares it and like his aunt listens to it.
It's just like, I don't understand how Jacob can come on here without like at least dropping 3 or 4 fuck bombs and making a couple of dick jokes. Like, I feel like that's just what you do when you're sitting in this.
I mean, he still does it. He just gets ashamed about it.
I feel like I need to, when I come on here, I'm going to be the anti-Jacob and make up for whatever lack and, you know, lack of really nasty, vulgar things. Even though I've got reasons that I shouldn't. I've got legitimate reasons that he does not, where I should really just keep my mouth shut. But fuck it. I'm going to have to carry the load for both of us. Him and his morals.
If there's anyone who knows how much we talk about buttholes on this show, it's going to be this guy. Can you guess who it is?
HG Butthole Man.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Lord Micah Purdue. Exalted Lord Micah Purdue, excuse me. With this week's Would You Rather, and it's a pretty easy Would You Rather. It's a food-related Would You Rather, and it's because it's dinner time, and I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. Side note, any good animators that you guys called for, I also need a good animator. I have a fantastic idea for an animation involving... Go look on Facebook. If you want to know what's involving, facebook.com/tadpog. Plug. This week's Would You Rather eat Taco Bell would you rather eat Taco John's? I know not everybody is going to know what Taco John's is. I think it's pretty much just kind of around here. I know
you guys they were in Madisonville.
There's one in Princeton. I'm pretty sure there's one in Paducah.
I thought they were everywhere.
I'm actually going to go with Taco John's just because Taco Bell has gotten to the point that it's almost McDonald's-like and it's so mass-produced and everything tastes exactly the same. So, yeah, Fat Boy wants Taco John's. There's my answer. Look forward to hearing from you guys. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later.
I think we've talked about this personally.
Yeah.
Several times.
Although, I think my answer changes a lot.
Yeah.
Because it really depends. Like, because right now, I could totally eat Taco John's. Mm. I love Taco John's. I have Taco John's nearly every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Because
Taco Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday. That's just, it's just what you do on Tuesday for lunch. You just do it.
It's like buttholes on Tadpog.
Right.
It's,
I mean,
it's just what you do. Buttholes. It's what we do. Bumper sticker.
Actually, if we could just get, if we could just all be quiet and isolate that, I want to use that as a bumper or something in the future.
Buttholes. It's what we can't fucking do. Buttholes. It's what we do.
Taco John's always stands high for me just because potato olays.
Yeah.
God, yes. Yes.
So I will get potato olays at Taco John's, and then I will go get tacos at Taco Bell.
Those Doritos tacos, man, they're crazy.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
I'm
good.
More of a soft shell taco guy, but I like the Cantina Bell burritos at Taco Bell. And then I'll get potato olays.
I've taken to asking when I go to Taco John's for some of their potato olay seasoning in a little cup.
Oh, really? They'll do it, huh?
They did it for me the last time I was there. And, dude, because they always spice them just a bit too little.
Yeah.
So you put that, because that's what makes those potato olays so amazing.
Oh, yeah. You want to bathe in that shit.
Oh, my God. It's so good. So next time, ask them. Ask them if they'll do that for you, because it's... That's the reason I will pick Taco John's every time. Hmm.
And I also want to say, look, Exalted Lord Mike, we've got more than one Taco John's.
Yeah.
We have two, right? Or do we have three?
I think we have three.
I'm out of touch with the Taco John's ley lines. I need to go reacquaint it.
There's the one right down the road from here.
Yes. I have one pretty much next door where Trainsy lives.
There's another one close to where Josh and Nicole live.
Right.
There's one over by the mall, isn't there?
There was one over by the mall. It's gone now, though. Hmm. So, yeah, I think we're down to two.
Down to two.
Yep.
Down to two. That's also how many Taco Bells we have. So the war wages on.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought Taco John's was everywhere. Although, everywhere I drive south of here, Taco Tico is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taco Tico is all over the place.
Yep.
I've never actually once, been to one.
I didn't like it.
I liked it as a kid because we had one when I lived in Louisiana. There was one, and they made a taco burger that I was so in love with hamburgers. Something I've clearly grew out of. clearly don't like hamburgers anymore. But their taco burger was off the fucking chains.
It's like Bob's drive-in. Or that's a Fiesta burger, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their Fiesta burger's delicious. If you're ever in the Paducah area, give Bob's a free plug. Drop by Bob's.
Some mega elixir. We'll take you to Bob's.
There you go.
Taco John's and then Bob's.
Hey, fellas. It's Phil over in Salem, Oregon. Just wanted to weigh in on this week's poll question from the Yoshi's Cookie episode.
Yes,
I've
good.
I've never played Yoshi's Cookie, but the game looked terrible. I checked it out on YouTube, and it looks borderline unplayable. I am not a spider girl, nor have I ever had sexual congress with one. I think if I were to be in the fictional band Combine Foxblade, I think I'd make a good backup singer/tambourine player. And my favorite cookie is the Snickerdoodle. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. I'm so glad we actually got a response to that. Mainly just because I love hearing other people say our band name. Mm-hmm. The Combine. Come? I can't even say it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. The Combine Fuck Slave. Yeah. Phil said it in such a professional manner, too. I like it. Like, that could butt right up against your buttholes.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
I can't believe that the conversation never went to dick blindness when you were talking about that. That's an inside.
That's deep inside.
Yeah. That's a deep inside joke that we won't go into.
If maybe we can get that person to tell the story in an upcoming episode.
Yeah, then we're good. Then we can tell that story.
Yeah, There is somebody we know that may or not be blind to dicks.
Dick blindness. It's not about curing it. It's about treating it.
The more you know.
Hey, Tadpog. It's Paul Korn again. I just thought I'd come in with another question for you guys. I figured this one will spark some interesting discussion. So here it is. Kill, fuck, marry, the original three starter Pokemon. I want to hear good explanations and defenses for your reasoning behind all this. So have fun with that. All right, I'll talk to you.
What the fuck? Seriously? Jesus, man.
I'm ready.
All right, so we're starting with Miller.
I don't even know who the three fucking... I know... Pikachu?
No.
No, he's not a starter. I don't know them either, but I know he's not
Charizard?
One.
Is he one of them?
Charmander.
Okay, Charmander.
Miller, he's the third evolution of Charmander.
Squirtle.
How do you even live?
Is there a Squirtle?
Squirtle. Yes. Squirtles. Okay. Those are the two that I know.
You can't forget Squirtle. That's just such a great fucking
Bulbasaur
name.
Is the third one.
Bulbasaur. Will definitely kill, right?
No, so I think you got to kill Charmander. He's going to burn your dick off. So you gotta kill Charmander.
Does he have fire inside?
He's got a fire tail. Imagine there's gotta be some heat coming on
so
inside.
So you can marry. You don't have to kill him. You can marry him and then...
And I'm gonna kill him.
You know
I'm
he'll gonna... never cheat on you because he'll burn their dicks
no
off.
No one else will fuck him. I'm gonna marry Squirtle. Because that's like lube whenever you want. It's cute.
Oh, man.
And you have to have sex with Bulbasaur because he has a little plant thing on his back. You can just stick it right in there. You're welcome, Paul Korn.
I think you sufficiently took care of that question.
I swear to God. It's, you know, we've got so many friends in our little circle that, well, so many. We've got one I know that really is into Pokemon.
And he's going to be here next week. So
we'll save the question for him.
Yep.
But most everybody in our group at least has a base understanding of Pokemon. And I just don't fucking get it. I can't. Somebody just asked you two. I thank God I happen to be here. Whether or not you would fuck, marry, or kill three, like you couldn't have been more gruesomely creepy if you had asked. Would you rather fuck, marry, or kill Twilight Sparkle or the two of the other goddamn brony? Pony, My Little Ponies. I mean, like, that's the creepiest fucking question.
There's a whole subreddit about that. That's a fairly popular thing.
Yeah, okay.
I think this is fed off of Spider Girls. It has to be, right? Mm-hmm. I, in fact, actually, I think the
or
proper...
I was wrong. It's Slime Girls and not Goo Girls. I'm sorry for anyone I threw off because Nicole Nance told me, there's no Goo Girls. So I was like, I'm sorry, Slime Girls.
I think it should be fuck, marry, kill the three starter Pokemon as one group, Spider Girls as a second group, or a Goo Girl. That's what I think the real question
is. German
Goo
Girl.
Or
what? German Goo Girl.
Each starter set of Pokemon?
Yes, each starter set. The whole set.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks. Thank you, Archivist Cole.
Thank you.
Christ almighty.
Hey, guys. This is Alan of Retail Hell fame.
Oh, yes.
Nope, you're good.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right.
Getting back to this whole Pokemon.
I don't vet these calls beforehand, so I promise I'm not doing that on purpose to make you look stupid, but we do that enough on our own.
Yep.
So don't worry about it. You're in very good company. I never say what I think anyway.
Hey, guys. This is Alan Applegate of Retail Hell fame. Just wanted to call and let you know that I think you guys are doing a really great job with your podcast, both the Other Shit Monday and the original Flavor Wednesday.
He hasn't heard this one yet.
Dave, I know you're always talking about how, you know, you'd like to get more likes and stuff, but you guys are doing fantastic there. 54 likes? That's amazing. One of my favorite shows about sports cards. It's been on for like 3 years. It's got 5-star reviews. Only has like 25, like, 5-star reviews. Or 25 reviews, I think. You guys are doing really good there. And then also, there's another one about Ninja Turtles. I've been going for about a year, and I got like 14. So you guys are doing pretty awesome there. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to call about was, you guys used to talk about Golden Girls a lot.
Yes.
And I feel like it's died out over the last couple of months.
Yes.
So I just want to add something to it. And, you know, just keep it going.
I gotta pause it for a minute because I had to laugh because I don't know if you heard what Miller said.
No.
Golden Goo Girls.
I can't get that image out of my
head. Dorothy, you are.
It's horrifying. I have to put it to paper or it'll never get out of my head.
That's some good fan art.
I'm going to say animators.
The golden goo girls.
Oh.
While you're at it.
They've got a side project for you to work on.
Okay. Well, we apologize, Alan.
Yes. Alan, I'm very sorry.
I'm going to let the golden girls die out, man, because true love. I was thinking that someone should do a Kickstarter project like Marvel vs. Capcom 3 or something along those lines, you know, like Marvel vs. Capcom series. And put in, like, not just put the Golden Girls in there, but, I mean, all the sitcoms from, like, the 80s and 90s. You have, like, you know, the Golden Girls, 2-7 cast. If you wanted to do, like, console exclusives, you could have, like, Balky and Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers in there. You have, like, console exclusives. And it'd just be crazy. Oh, and like you guys were talking about recently, Home Improvement. That would be awesome as well. Have, like, the cast of Home Improvement in there. Have the boys as playable characters, you know. Mm-hmm. Have Tim Allen in there as well. And while you're going to do, like, summons and stuff in the game, have, like, Wilson come up as a summon. Just a huge fence. Just barrel through, knock out the enemy. Just have, like, Wilson right behind it. But it's got to center around the Golden Girls. When I can think of more ideas of Golden Girls games, I'll call you guys, let you know. Got to keep it going. Great job with the podcast, guys. Keep going.
Thank you very much.
Did he say there was an entire podcast dedicated to the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, and I have to check it out pretty much immediately after we're done recording.
All right.
Not for you, huh? All right. Well, you're just full of hate, aren't you?
No, I love the Ninja Turtles. I just can't imagine having a podcast. Like, what do you talk about that often about it, you know?
Well, there's the original cartoon, the movies, the live action show, the new cartoon.
Okay, there's
all the toys, the comic books, each both the old ones and the new ones.
Each individual toy gets its own. All right, today we're reviewing the Leonardo.
Well, we do that with Nintendo
Yeah, I was about
game.
To say, I hate to break it to you, man, but we've pretty much been doing that with Super Nintendo games. Well, no one's given a fuck about, except for a very select few people.
Yeah, I mean, all right.
That's why we talk about buttholes.
That's
I'm actually curious what else they talk about on the Ninja Turtles podcast, because you know their butthole talk gets real saucy.
I've got the worst
saucy butthole story.
The worst Ninja Turtles gif. I will send you.
Okay.
And then if you like it, we'll put it in the show notes, but it is awful.
If I like it, it's of course awful. I'm going to like it.
Oh my God, it's awful.
Oh, like what kind of awful?
NSFW. Like, and not safe for life, like awful.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I know. I think I know what the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I don't think I've seen this, but now I really want to. I feel like we should stop and I should watch it, and then I should
It's
review
all four
it.
Of the turtles and a pizza.
Okay. All right. Yep. That sounds wholesome.
The same one that I'm thinking of. I have seen a gif that it's April getting double teamed.
Oh, no.
Two of the.
Did you ever think you'd say that on a microphone in your entire life?
No. There's a lot of things I've said on this microphone that I never imagined I would say. This show leads to a lot of weird shit coming out of my mouth.
It kind of revolves back around to the story you told, because you never would have expected that, and that girl who got her lap motorboated never would have expected that either.
Oh, no. She didn't see that coming. Neither did I, for that matter, but, well, shit happens.
Any more calls?
That's it. That's it.
Because we're running way over. It's going to be some creative editing.
Yeah, just take a lot of the game stuff out. It was pretty bad. Except for Miller. Edit us out, or edit me out completely, and it's just Miller and you talking.
Miller talking and laughing. Yeah. It's like Garfield without Garfield. It's just Miller just talking about stuff.
The name of this show is going to be Miller without Tyler and Dave.
You can take out the rant about Pokemon and how goddamn weird it is. You know what we forgot to talk about in the game, though? I mean, call beads.
Yeah, they were made like they were a rare and big deal, and they were pretty much useless.
Yeah, they were kind of the answer to summons for Final Fantasy. I thought it was neat that they had those.
It was neat, but they weren't very good.
Also, by the way, I like the idea. I like this Home Improvement playable characters deal. I think that is, if there's anything that we need, I think we need to cross Shaq Fu with Home Improvement and do the fighting game right.
See, I want to see all three of the boys. They're not strong enough to be individual characters. They're all one fighter. So you do like Ice Climbers and Smash Brothers with all three of the Taylor boys.
And then if you win, their animation at the end is they climb on one another's shoulders, put a giant coat on them, and go buy a rated R movie ticket.
See, when he was talking about that, the first thought that popped into my mind was Estelle Getty's head crudely pasted onto Chun-Li's body. Like, that would be an entire game. Just take various people and just crudely paste their faces onto various Street Fighter characters.
I like it. I imagine I would see that on Salty Bet.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about IGN's 49th ranked game.
Correct.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors. No.
Super Bomberman.
Super Bomb. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're
Let me check.
Super Bomberman. No, you're right. We haven't done Bomberman yet, so mm-mm. That'll be Wednesday. Yeah, you're right. All right. Bomberman.
Super.
Super. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating or a review. An honest one. Hopefully a 5-star. That's what you think of
mm-hmm.
us. Good things happen.
I'm glad that we have more than the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Podcast. I'm sure it's an excellent show, but I mean, we gotta have the most,
yep.
Right?
Yep,
we gotta have the most.
Gotta have the most.
Don't go rushing off to 5-star review those guys. All right,
yeah. Please.
Dave's feeling good about this.
Yeah. If you listen to the Ninja Turtles podcast and you really like it, maybe just send them an email and say you liked it. Don't give them a 5-star because we need to be ranked above them. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back next week. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. That's where I'm going to be putting an apparently disgusting Ninja Turtles gif. So if you want to watch that, I don't know, go to tadpog.com. Check it out. Four guys and a pizza. Who knows what's going to happen? You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. Chances are, if you like what we talk about on the show, you're probably going to like the Facebook group.
Yep.
There's a lot of cool people doing cool shit on there.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. We're on Twitter at tadpog_podcast. We've got a really good crew on Twitter. Thank you for everyone who's retweeting. We've also got a phone number, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've been getting more calls since we've actually been giving the number.
Yep.
Interesting how that works.
It was a secret Easter egg on the website. Right.
Every 2 months at random, we email someone who's emailed us and give them the phone number, and they call. If you want to be one of the cool people who calls, please do so. We encourage it. You can reach us at 270-883-2555. Still have to read that off the notes because I still haven't memorized it.
That happens.
Yeah, I got people to thank, but we're running so long, we'll do it Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll need to. Miller, yeah. You've been on the show like a billion fucking times. You're barely a guest host. You're almost like a host host.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that.
So you should know the answer to this question. Our intro song.
Moves.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Maple Avenue.
Fuck.
Yes.
Fuck.
Sycamore Drive.
Well, now you delivered that so well, now I'm questioning whether it's Sycamore Drive. It is Sycamore Drive, right?
Maple Avenue.
No, it's fuck. Conifer Lane. We've talked about it. It's not wrong. They need to change their name. I'm sorry, guys. You need to change your name.
Where can they find a link to that track?
In the show notes on tadpog.com.
Passes. Mm-hmm. As usual.
Yep.
As usual. Until next week, Tropical
Capricorn. Mouth late for Miller to open his mouth. He just was bewildered.
Tropical Capricorn. Yes. That's a new one, though. That's only been around since the Brandon episode.